Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, how many of you can remember last Sunday? It was a long time ago, but how many of you were here last Sunday? I know some of you are still on holiday and away. Those of you here, what did we talk about last Sunday? Thanks for remembering. It really went down well. How many of the children? Who's the strongest dad in the church after last Sunday? Apart from Anil, because we all knew that anyway. I was shocked by Simon Smith. Were you shocked by Simon Smith, the way he was there for a minute and 20 seconds? And is Simon here this morning, or is he still recovering? I know he went into hospital for 3 days after last Sunday, holding those weights up. But what we were looking at is lots of people build their lives, don't they, around either trying to be strong or tough or create an image, or whether it was around gifts and skills and talents and building a security around that, or whether it was having money and glamour and wanting to be famous, and people trying to build an identity and security around that. And then we looked at what does Jesus do, and what's the heart of Jesus, and how he loves to build into people's lives, and that when you try and save your own life, you lose it. But when you live the life that Jesus wants us to live, then we find the real life that God has for us. And we kind of discovered that in different ways. But we kind of understood a little bit from last week, hopefully, that, you know, what is on God's heart is people. And whether saved or unsaved, you know, God loves to restore, God loves to build people's lives. So what I want to do this morning is carry on a bit from that. Is that okay? So I'm just going to disappear for a moment because I've got a couple of props out here. So talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'll see you at lunchtime. Okay. This is a trampoline net. My daughter Megan was a little bit upset with me because I nicked it off her trampoline this morning, but it will do for something else. This is a tax collector's table. Red. Because the financial situation in the nation is fairly red at the moment. But we're going to turn it around, are we not? So, anyway, right. I want to read a verse to you guys. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. We read it last week. I did actually think about doing exactly the same message as last week, with all the same people up here, the same illustrations, the same scriptures and everything. And I wonder what you guys would think about that. How many of you have thought, hang on a minute, that wasn't very new, we had that last week? How many of you would have been a bit disappointed if we'd gone through exactly the same thing as last week? You'd have been disappointed. Why? Because you've heard it. But what have you done about it? Ba-dun-dun-tsh. Okay. There was I don't know if it's true, but I heard a story once where a guy went to a church. New pastor there, and he preached the first week. The elders on the front row, brilliant, great word. Shook everybody's hands on the way out, and they thought, oh, this is going to be great. What a brilliant preacher the new pastor is. But the following week, preached the same message, same scriptures, same stories, same jokes, everything. And the elders thought, well, we'll give him a bit of space because he's new. Maybe he's a bit nervous. Maybe that's the only thing he's kind of got so far. Third week, preached the same scriptures, the same message, the same stories, the same jokes, everything. And then the elders got the pastor after the meeting, took him into, you know, another room, and they said, look, you do realise you've preached the same thing for 3 weeks in a row now. We're a bit concerned. The people are going to get a bit bored if you preach the same thing every week. And, you know, you need to mix it up a bit so that people stay interested and they can learn more. And he said, I'm just going to keep preaching the same thing till they're doing it. So, you know, what we want to do, we want to do what God says, don't we? And so it's kind of along the same lines, but taking it a step further. Verse 19, we read it last week. Jesus, when he called Peter and Andrew, he said to them, come, he gave them an invitation, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, so I need a couple of people. Who'd like to be Peter this morning and who'd like to be Andrew? Coming in, you can be Peter. Andrew, I need an Andrew. Coming in the red England shirt. Just one of you for a minute. That's it. You guys, okay, you can sit on the edge of this monitor. Okay, it's tough enough. Okay, so you can both sit on the edge of that. I think you'd be all right. Sit on this bit. Sit there with your feet this way. Sit right on the edge. Have a seat. Okay, you're just busy mending your nets, okay? These are your fishing nets. Okay, you're busy doing a bit of knitting and all of that. Your mum's probably taught you to do that already, yeah? Are you guys good at knitting? Sewing? That's what people are into these days, isn't it? Sewing, knitting. Did you get a knitting kit for Christmas?
No.
Sewing kit? No. That sort? No?
No. This is wet.
I know it's wet. It's been outside on my trampoline. That's why it's wet. It's pretty dirty because I had really manky hands afterwards. I had to wash them. So watch your parents' clothes when you wipe them all over them later on. Okay. So Peter and Andrew, they were busy mending their nets. Also, I need John and James. Where are you guys? John and James. Yeah, somebody with a hand up over there. You can be John. I need a James. James. Come on in. You can be James. You guys can sort of join them, just sit on the floor. You can help mend the nets and all of that. Busy. Did you guys get knitting kits, sewing kits?
No.
No. You're not into that either? You did it at school. At least you're teaching you something decent at school these days. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the education system. Still teaching boys how to sew. Cool. You'll need it one day when you leave home, mate. What's that? You did a bit of sewing.
I do sewing at school.
You do sewing at school?
I do.
You do as well? This is pretty cool, the education system. Do they teach you anything else worthwhile at school? Yeah. Okay, we'll leave that one there.
We don't listen.
Is there anything else you want to repent of while you're at the front here? Is there anything else you do at school that you need to walk in the light with, let your parents know about? Fall asleep.
Yeah.
Whereas half the people do that on Sundays here, mate. I wouldn't worry about that. Anyway, right, let's get on with it. Okay, so who would like to be Jesus this morning? Let's have somebody a little bit older, shall we? A little bit older. Who'd like to be Jesus? Anton, you look like Jesus, mate. Come on then, down the front. Come on, let's welcome Anton. You just need the flowing robes, mate, don't you? Just do you want to go over that side? Is that all right? Cool. I don't think I could. I don't even. I could get a beard that long, even if I grew it for the rest of my life. I don't think. Cool. Okay. So Jesus is over here. So Jesus was, he'd already began preaching and teaching, and things had already begun to happen, miracles had already began to take place. And these guys had obviously heard a little bit about Jesus. And one particular day, Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, and he spoke to these guys, and he said, while they were, actually they were men in the nets, but now they were casting their nets into the lake. Do you want to stand up, lads, and kind of pretend to cast the, if you can, just out that way a bit. That's the lake where everybody is, okay? It's wet, isn't it, this thing? Okay, so you're kind of casting your... And while they were doing that, Jesus walked by and he said to these guys, hey, come follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Immediately. Wait. It says, immediately they left their nets and their father and followed him. So you're going to be obedient now, okay, which means you have to listen, which means you don't fall asleep, all right, that kind of stuff, okay, is that all right? Okay, so this is Jesus, you're beginning to follow him, okay? Now, there was an invitation that Jesus gave to these guys, but they had to make a choice as to whether they were going to follow him or not, okay? But what began to happen? As they began to follow him, what did he do? He went throughout Galilee... So begin to go throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, can we have a few people that need to be healed? Let's have a few cripples up here. A few people who can't speak, who can't hear. You two, you'll do. Yep. You guys are deaf. Okay. A couple of other people. Dan Smith over there. You looking around, mate? Yep, that's it. Over here. Chad, you can come on stage. Joe, come up here, mate. Danny Wheeler, yeah, you cheered him on. You can come up as well. Jenna, you look, yeah, you're laughing. You can come up. Okay, so one of you's blind. One of you's deaf. You're a cripple, Dan. Get on the floor, mate. You can't walk. Not yet. Anyway, light. That's it. That's it. You guys just look ill.
Thanks.
Okay, I don't mean you look ill. I mean try and look ill. Now, while Jesus was going throughout Galilee, he was preaching and teaching, but then he began to heal people. The deaf guy got his sight back. Just checking you're listening. The deaf guy got his hearing back. Okay? The blind man got his sight back, or whatever you were. The mute man. The mute and blind. I don't know. It's Sunday morning, all right?
This is good.
Can you hear now?
Yes, it's fantastic. Oh, yes.
I can see with my glasses.
Well, take them off then. What's that like? Just say you can see, all right?
I can see.
Good, well done. You can stay up here. Right, so there was a crippled guy. The crippled were getting healed. And the sick were being healed. We are going to start a drama school at Kingdom Faith. But things began to happen. Things began to happen that nobody had seen before. And the people were amazed at what was going on. Just be amazed. And even the disciples were shocked because they'd never seen anything like this before. Face the crowd so they can see your shock. There you go. But Jesus wasn't shocked. He was just kind of very cool, hands in pockets, like, this is normal, okay? Now, these guys began to follow him and others began to follow him. Now, just stay there for a sec. I need a chair from over here. Who would like to be a tax collector? Do you want to be a tax collector? Come on, you can be a tax collector. You can sit there. I've only got a few pound coins in my pocket. But there's some gold and silver. You sort of, you know, I haven't got a clue. But there's, I know how much, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I know you're a tax collector. That's why I'm counting it, so I'll get it back. All right. Also, I'm owed a rebate, by the way, so I'll have a bit. If you've got a few quid on you, I'll have some off you. Right. Great. So things began to happen. Then Jesus was walking with his disciples one day, and he went past a tax collector's booth where Matthew was. And it says here, Jesus went on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. Okay? That's my money. You can leave it on the table. Thanks very much. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. So, okay, let's just... This is not a tax collector's table anymore. What I'm going to do is make sure I get my cash back. Oh, you can keep that quid. It's all right. Put it in the offering. And is that yours? That's mine. Anyway, this is now Matthew's house, okay? There's loads of food on there. All of you guys, you can sit around on the floor, recline around the table. And there's a mixture of disciples and tax collectors now, okay? So, now these guys were with Jesus. Jesus has gone round to Matthew's house, and he was sitting with the tax collectors and sinners, as it's called here. Now, who would like to be a Pharisee for a couple of minutes? Who'd love just to vent some religiosity, you know, some religion and just some... You'd like to be a Pharisee, come on then. Anybody else like to be a Pharisee for a minute? A very joyful looking Pharisee, actually. Don't sit down with him for a minute, just stand over there for a sec. Who else would like to be a Pharisee? Andy, yeah, you laugh. Come on then, mate, up you come. Richard Fair, yeah, come on then. Nice one. Yep, you at the back with your hand up, run down to the front. Okay, quick, join the Pharisees over there. Do you want to, if you want, you can come down, yeah. If you don't want to, then sit down. You need a... Oh, you got up to get a drink. I've got a bottle of water here if you want some, mate. You can... Anyway, there's some Pharisees. Now, Jesus was eating at this house. Now, if you're a Pharisee, if you're a rabbi, okay, back then, you didn't associate with anybody that was regarded as a sinner or an outcast in some way. Because if you reclined or you ate in the presence of people, then you were identifying with them and saying, I'm just like them, okay? And so Jesus was sitting in this environment. They'd heard him. The Pharisees had already heard Jesus preaching. They'd already seen him do miracles. They began to see what was going on around this guy, Jesus. And the Pharisees, who wouldn't go to a tax collector's house or they wouldn't go to a sinner's house to eat with them, they then saw Jesus with these guys. And because, as far as they were concerned, these were sinners, they couldn't understand why was Jesus spending time eating and reclining at the table with these guys that you shouldn't be with, okay? And so the Pharisees started to say to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard this, Jesus' reply was, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Thanks, Anton. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Okay? Now, Jesus didn't mind what people thought about him. He didn't have a reputation that he wanted to protect. Jesus was more concerned with being in the right place at the right time, doing what the Father wanted, than trying to put himself and create a right kind of reputation around him that others would just think he's, you know, really cool and really good. But actually, he spent time with these guys because they were the people that the Father wanted to reach. These were the people that the Father wanted to bring back to himself, because in that culture of that society, many people felt that God was out of reach because of the way the Pharisees said that, you know, you have to fulfill the law, you have to do certain things, and if you don't, you're not good enough. And it was very much geared towards the religious people and the wealthy people if you were going to serve God or follow God. But a lot of the everyday kind of people, God was too far out of the way. You're not good enough. You're never going to reach God, because they'd laid the law down to such an extent that the law had become a barrier between them and God. But what Jesus did, Jesus came and he didn't just stick with the Pharisees. He came right into the middle of everyday people's lives to basically demonstrate and to show that the heart of the Father was for every person. Okay? Now, if you guys want to stand for a minute. And the Pharisees, if you want to just go and sit down for a sec. Thanks a lot. I need a couple of other people just to help out for a minute. Who else would like to be a sinner for a minute? Okay. Anybody else like to be a sinner? Come on then. Okay. Two ladies. One of you's a prostitute, okay? Okay, and the other one is the woman who's been sick for 12 years, okay? You look very sick there, thanks. And now, what happened in this scenario is Jesus, a synagogue ruler, came to Jesus and basically said, would you come and heal my son, okay? Now, there's a whole load of people around. So, Jesus, come over here for a minute. Some of these are the disciples. You gather around Jesus. And some of you guys, you're just following him. You want to find out what's he going to do next. So, just all crowd around Anton now for a moment, okay? Now, this synagogue ruler came to Jesus and he said, please, will you come and heal my daughter? And you can be the synagogue ruler for a minute. And so, the synagogue ruler said, please come and heal my daughter. She's dying. If you lay hands on her, she'll get well.
If you lay your hands on her, she will get well.
Now Jesus agreed with his faith. Okay, his faith is if I lay hands on him, he's gonna be healed. Now this guy was urgent. He was serious because he wanted Jesus to hurry up. And so Jesus began to move, and the people began to follow him. But on the way, not too fast. That's it. On the way, there was a lady who'd been sick for 12 years, and she'd spent all her money. She was getting worse. She was not just physically ill, emotionally she would have been fairly desperate. mentally should have been, because she was an outcast because of her illness. And she knew, she'd heard about Jesus. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the hem of his cloak, then I'm going to get healed. And now Jesus didn't even know she was there. Jesus was on his way to heal the girl. But this woman, just everybody crowd around him for a minute, crowd right around Jesus. Walk very slowly that way. But the woman pressed through the crowd, pushed her way through the crowd, shoved them out the way, and she just touched his garment. And as she touched the garment, power went out from Jesus, and she was healed straight away. Now Jesus turned round and he said, "Who touched me?" And everybody said, "Wow, everybody's touching you, because everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody's crowding around you." But Jesus said, "No, somebody wanted something more than just to be around me to see what I'm going to do next. Somebody touched me with faith. They wanted to receive something." And the woman, if you guys just move out of the way a little bit. Come over here. The woman came trembling and knelt in front of Jesus. Do you want to turn that way, Anton? That's it. Just kneel on the floor. And she said, "It was me. I touched you." Now, what did Jesus say? He didn't rebuke her. He didn't give her a hard time. She'd been sick for 12 years. She'd been an outcast. She'd probably been begging. If she could, you know, because if she got caught, she'd have been stoned, because that was the law, okay? And she put her life on the line by pressing through the crowd to touch Jesus. But when she touched Jesus, she didn't get condemnation. She didn't get the law book thrown out. She didn't get kind of told you're wrong, you shouldn't be here. What happened is power came out of Jesus. Immediately she was healed. And what did he say? He said, "Go, your faith has made you well," okay? So you can jump to your feet and celebrate, because it wasn't just she was well now. Her whole life had changed, because now she could join in with society. She could join now. She could contact her family. She could be with friends. Now her whole life had been restored, okay? So now you're part of this crowd, okay? So everybody just crowd around Jesus for a minute. Just stay where you are for a sec, okay? Yeah, I know you're on the way to... Yeah, but I don't want to go there, all right? The girl gets healed, okay? The synagogue ruler's daughter. But what are we talking about this morning? There were three words that I felt the Lord say about this year. One is souls, one is miracles, and one is disciples. And this year, in the church here, God is wanting to give us such a heart for souls. Coming with the souls, the preaching of the gospel is the confirmation of the gospel, with signs following, miracles taking place. But the whole purpose is that, is so that people become disciples, because you need to see people saved if they're going to become disciples. So they're not three individual things, they're all linked together, okay? And when we begin to see Jesus' heart for people, he didn't just come for a certain type of person. He came for people that were wealthy, he came for people that were poor. He came for people that were very clever, and he came for people that were not so clever. He came for people that were of different nationalities and different races and different colours. He came for people of different backgrounds, different ages, and all kinds of different histories in their life. And Jesus didn't mind who came to him and who touched him and who came into his life. His heart was that every person should be made whole. Every person should receive fullness of life. Now, although he gave the Pharisees and the religious people a hard time, he gave them a hard time because they were putting people in, they were in bondage or restraining people because of the law. But yet his heart was still for them. We know that in the Bible, some Pharisees came to him at night and spoke to him and asked him questions because something was happening in them, because they realized that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. Okay. So his heart was still for the religious guys. He dealt with religion very hard, because religion binds people up, doesn't set them free. But the people themselves, he still wanted to reach and change. So whether it was a child coming to Jesus, or whether it was an older person, whether it was somebody from a different age or a different color or whatever it might be, Jesus didn't mind about a reputation, because his heart was more to see somebody's life changed than whether they fitted into his sphere of friends or not. Jesus went into other people's circles and changed that circle. People didn't just have to come into his. He took his life into the circle of other people's lives and transformed those lives when he was there. One other story, okay? If you guys, again, you're at somebody's house here, and you all sit around the table. You're all eating. And then there was a prostitute that came in with a jar of expensive perfume. And so she came in. And she broke this jar and she began to pour this oil and this perfume all over Jesus' head and over his feet, and began to wash his feet with her tears and with his perfume. And the Pharisees, the religious people, they were outraged. They were angry. It's like, man, if he was a real prophet, he really, really was who he says he is, then he would know who this woman is. Now, this could be the most embarrassing moment for Jesus. Here he's preached the gospel. He's seen there's been miracles all the way around his life and over the previous few years. He's got thousands of people that are now following him. There's word getting around now that this is the Son of God and this is the Messiah and everything. And yet this woman comes in who, as far as society is concerned, is an outcast. She shouldn't be here. She's a prostitute. You know, she's the scum of society and all of that kind of thing. And she comes into the middle of this meal, this expensive home with wealthy people. And she comes in and begins to worship, anoint Jesus. Now, she was anointing him because it was all to do with him going to the cross and everything. But here in the middle of this situation, Jesus didn't rebuke her. He wasn't uncomfortable. He didn't think, man, I'm in a wealthy environment. I'm with these kind of people. This is really embarrassing. This is not good for my reputation. If anything, Jesus said, what this woman is doing is an act of worship, is glorifying me. He's coming before me and actually in front of all of you guys. She's here now giving her life to me, laying her life down for me. She's worshiping. She's anointing me. She's pouring her life out for me. Even the disciples said, man, what could we have done with, or some of them, what could we have done with this perfume, what it's worth? We could have sold it. It's a year's wages. Even they were still thinking in the natural. But yet Jesus, in the middle of this scenario where the peer pressure could have been to rebuke her, could have been to not now, do it another time. This is not the right moment. Right in the middle of that situation, Jesus actually encouraged and rebuked in some ways the other people around because of what she was doing. Because his heart wasn't to reject her or to rebuke her. Actually, he embraced this woman who the others thought she shouldn't even be in this home. She has no right to be here. If he really was walking with God, if he really was in tune with God, he would know what sort of woman. He wouldn't even let this woman touch her. Because if somebody was an outcast or a prostitute or a sinner and they touched a rabbi, then they would consider unclean because of this contact with the person. And this is what broke all the rules. Jesus had contact with so many people's lives that were seen to be unclean or not worthy, or they're an outcast, or they're not up the rung enough in society to be good enough to come into contact with somebody who's supposed to be a man of God. But yet Jesus embraced the sinner. Jesus reached out to the outcast, to the sinner, to the prostitute, to the tax collector, to those that didn't see. Why? Because he wasn't so bothered about a reputation. He didn't have a set of rules for one and a set of rules for another. The heart of Jesus was to restore, to forgive, was to build somebody's life and bring them into relationship with the Father. And that's why this year is a year of souls, of miracles and of disciples. And for us as a challenge here this morning, are we prepared this year to lay a reputation down, what others might think? Are we prepared to be in the right place at the right time for the right person? That might in the natural look like we're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. Because all of us want people to think well of us, right? And sometimes doing the right thing means you have to lay your reputation on the line. Sometimes doing the right thing or reaching people in a certain situation doesn't always look good. It doesn't always fit in with our schedule or our timetable. But yet Jesus, he stepped into other people's lives and the circle of their world, and he brought life into their world and brought a change into their situation. But he always did it with mercy and with compassion. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's thank these guys for helping out this morning. You can leave it there for now, mate. Thanks, bud. That's all right. Cheers. Many of us are already believers here today. We already have a relationship with Jesus. And if we went round the room, There'd be some amazing testimonies in this place about what God has done in many lives. And you know what your life was like before you knew Jesus. And all the stuff that was going on, all the things that were just gripping your life and had hold on you. And many of you know just the freedom, the forgiveness, the graciousness of God, the mercy of God, the incredible healing that he's done in just by saving you, forgiving you, know that, knowing that he doesn't hold anything against you, knowing that the past really has gone and that the devil's hold on your life has been totally broken. For many of you, you know, mentally, things are so different in your life now because of the healing. Some of you emotionally, you know, your whole emotional life is completely different. There's a stability now because of what Jesus has done. Others of you have known God's healing. Some of you have had life-threatening illnesses that God has healed you of, things that are being diagnosed, hereditary things that God has healed you of that no longer have a grip on your life. Some of you know all the stuff you used to be into and that gripped your life, that ran your life, determined the decisions and all of that, and how you know all of that has been shattered and broken off your life. You know the freedom, you know the forgiveness, you know the joy, you know the fullness of life that God has given you. And Jesus came and stepped into the world that would completely encapsulated you and completely had its grip on your life. And Jesus came and stepped into that world to bring forgiveness, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to set your feet on something solid on the rock of who he is, to give you a hope, to give you a future, to give you a destiny, to give you so much to live for, so much to go for in life. You know, most of us in this place, you know the blessing of God, you know the fullness of God, you know the abundance of God because of what he has done, but what he still does in our life. He always comes to encourage, to strengthen, to inspire, to lift us, to motivate us, to keep our heads and our eyes fixed on him and what he's done in our lives, what he is doing and what he's going to continue to do. But how many of you had somebody step into your life that were the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus? How many of you had somebody step into your world that maybe it wasn't comfortable for them to step into your world, but because there was something that compelled them with God's love, they wanted to step into your world to bring you the word, the truth, the gospel, to bring healing, to bring salvation. Somebody stepped into your world with the heart and with the compassion of Jesus so that you could be brought out of the world that so encapsulated you into a whole nother life and way of living. How many of you, you know, your life is just so different now than it was maybe, I don't know, if you've been recently saved 3 months ago. Maybe some of you have been saved 30, 40, 50 years. But you know your life is so completely different now than it has been. And for me, one of the things for this year, I really, God's just been saying to me, just keep this year really simple. Keep things really, the simplicity of the gospel, okay? God's been speaking to us in the autumn about living the gospel, about living the word, make sure that our lives are really lined up with the word of God and that the word really is Lord in our lives and everything, the truth of his word and the authority of who he is in our lives. And this year is a year of souls, of miracles and of disciples. And I believe in the midst of us seeking God and meeting with God and wanting to know God more, God wants to also break our hearts for people's lives with a real compassion. And that comes in a number of ways. Sometimes that comes as we pray and as we seek God, and other times part of that happens like that, but part of it happens when you actually go into situations and you see stuff and God just does something in you, as well as a breaking. There's a releasing of his compassion and love and mercy, whatever needs to happen in those situations. But I believe God wants to open our eyes to see people in a different way this year, to see people more how he sees them, so that we can't just pass people by, that it's not easy just to walk by, but actually our heart gets caught with an individual or with a couple or with a family or with a circle of friends. Our heart gets, something happens inside of us where we're just, man, I've got to pray for these people. I've got to begin to reach out. Something connects you with them. It's called the heart of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to, if you like, give you a burden for people, for souls, all of us in this place, so that all of us together, we are focusing some faith towards an individual or a couple or a family or a particular group of people that God lays on our hearts to really reach out to begin to see saved this year. There are God appointments for many people's lives this year in 2009. And God wants us to be the hands, the feet, the mouthpiece, whatever, for people's lives this year. But it's not just about preaching the gospel to get somebody to make a decision. We're talking about making disciples. And it begins with somebody having a meeting with God. It starts with somebody giving their life to Jesus. It starts with somebody coming to relationship with Jesus. And with that, there are miracles that take place. The first miracle is that people get forgiven. That is an incredible miracle, that somebody can literally sit there, stand there, lie there, kneel there before God and ask Him to forgive them of all their sins. And a miracle of forgiveness takes place. And from that moment, they're taken out of darkness and brought into light. It's a miracle, something that we can't see with our eyes, but something that takes place. And then you see the evidence in the way their face changes, their whole demeanor changes. They lift their head up. There's a freedom that comes upon them because the power of sin is broken as people are, you know, repent of their sin before God. And then when Jesus comes to live in them with this new life, all kinds of things begin to happen. We want to believe this year that as people repent of their sins, they really have an encounter with God, and the power of God comes upon them, and they don't just take a kind of step into an interest with Jesus, but they step into a whole new life with Jesus. And in that moment, healing takes place mentally, emotionally, physically, in every way. The power of God comes upon them, so their life is transformed, their life is turned around. Where we position our faith is what we're going to see.
Yes, that's right.
Where you focus your faith is what you see.
That's right.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so there are many, many people's lives, family members, friends, work colleagues, all kinds of people, that at this moment there's not the evidence there in the natural. And that's why we need to apply faith and say, Father, who do you want to see saved this year through my life, through our life as a family, whatever it might be? Who do you want to see saved this year? Because I want to focus faith on these people's lives so they come into the fullness of who you are in their lives.
That's right.
Amen. But with that, miracles. But then so they become disciples. We're not just looking for a few decisions. We want to see disciples so that people walk with God. They grow in the things of God and they become mature people in God. But first of all, we just want to pray. Just close your eyes for a moment. Even if you're some of the children, whatever age you are, let's just pray together for a moment. Just close your eyes. We've all got school friends and work colleagues or neighbors and mates that we hang out with, family members. There's lots of people that we all know that don't know Jesus at this point. And we don't want to pray with hope on its own. Well, in the sense of, well, I hope one day they get saved. We want to pray with faith. But first of all, I just want us to lay our reputations down. And just come before the Lord and say, Father, I'm prepared to lay down my reputation. I don't want to just look good on the outside. I don't want it all to look squeaky clean. You know, mercy's messy. When you reach out to people with mercy, sometimes it's messy. It's not all squeaky clean. You know, when the woman who was caught in adultery, she came out and the law says she should have been stoned. And Jesus said, whoever's not sinned, you can throw the first stone. And gradually all the people left and it was only Jesus and the woman left. I mean, people could have even looked and said, well, is he condoning what she does then? If he's letting her off, does that mean he doesn't mind what she does? And I mean, Jesus could have so easily been misunderstood. If he's being merciful, does that mean he doesn't really mind? Are you prepared to put your reputation on the line. Just lay it down and say, Father, I want to serve you this year and whatever you want to do in people's lives. And if that means it doesn't look right in other people's minds, it doesn't mean we do stupid things. I'm not saying that. But as we reach out to people, we are merciful, compassionate towards people. We're stepping into their world and in their situation. We're not going with any sense of judgment or condemnation. We're not looking down our nose at anybody at all. Sinners and tax, they loved to be with Jesus because they didn't feel any condemnation at all coming from him. Actually, what they felt was, man, this guy, he somehow accepts me but doesn't want me to stay where I am. But I don't feel condemned in that. I actually feel pulled towards him because there's something clean about this guy. There's something that when he looks at me, there isn't an attitude with it that is condemning or whatever, or wants to use me or abuse me. There's just something about this guy that when he's with me, I want to know this guy. I want to be with him. And that's how we want to be as a people this year. That we don't go with any condemnation, judgment, critical attitudes towards anybody. We're not weighing up somebody and well, that's it. You know, they're this, that and the other. We want to go with mercy, with compassion, with grace. Just take a few moments. Just lay your reputation down. Make yourself available. Thank you, Jesus, this year for souls being saved, for family members being saved, for mums and dads being saved. For some of you guys have got children, whether they're grown up, you know, that are not saved. Father, we thank you for our children being saved, grandchildren being saved. Father, we thank you for friends being saved, neighbours being saved, work colleagues being saved. Thank you for mates at school and college, university. Thank you, Father, for people's lives being changed this year. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for mental issues being dealt with. We thank you for holy visitations in people's lives. We thank you for emotional healing. We thank you for physical healing. We thank you for just your touch on people's lives. Father, we thank you for disciples this year. Father, we thank you that you're giving an invitation to people. Come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Father, I thank you that as we reach out to people, there's an invitation. Come, follow Jesus and he's going to make you who he's called you to be. Make you who you're destined to be. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit at work in us and through us with such compassion, with such mercy, with such grace and love. Father, I thank you for your anointing upon us. So when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. Father, I thank you for a body of moving in miracles and signs and wonders this year. Father, I thank you for signs accompanying the preaching of the gospel this year. I just release that and declare that and release that over this year, that as the gospel is preached, signs and wonders follow. The sick will be healed. The mental people will be restored. Emotions will be changed. Father, I thank you for sick bodies being made well, for people coming out of wheelchairs, for AIDS being healed, cancers going. Father, we thank you for incurable diseases being dealt with. Father, we thank you for just your touch on thousands of people's lives this year as we reach out in your name with your good word, with your gospel, in your power. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy's messy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody just raise your hands for a minute. Even the children, wherever you are, guys. Some of you younger guys, just stand up for a minute. All the children as well. Just stand where you are. We're going to finish in a moment, but just all the children as well, just stand where you are for a minute. Just close your eyes. Just lift your hands to Jesus. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit afresh on us as a people, as a church. Father, I thank you for a fresh anointing upon us right now as a body. Father, I thank you for the spirit of love afresh right now. Father, I thank you for compassion being released right now. I thank you for the spirit of mercy right now, where there's no sense of judgment, criticism or anything like that of anybody, whether in the body or as we reach out to those that are not saved. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom to be upon us to know what to say, how to be, and how to act in every situation. Father, I thank you for a sensitivity to the voice and to the leading of your Holy Spirit this year. Father, I thank you for a quickening in us for what you want to do, when you want to do it at any given moment, in the workplace, in the home, in social situations, wherever we are. Father, I thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you as we just lay our reputations down, we surrender to you. Just surrender yourself to the Lord right now. Father, I surrender to you, your lordship, your word, your way. That means sometimes you don't try and work it out. You just have to do what you know the Holy Spirit's leading you to do in a situation. He'll take care of the consequences. He'll make it add up and he'll do what he wants to do. But just be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Father, I thank you for souls, for miracles and disciples this year. We thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just quickly now, there's a few people that God wants to heal. And somebody, you've had a medical condition diagnosed to do with your brain in some way. I don't know if it's a growth or something that's going on there, but God just wants to touch your brain right now. There's something going on that is a potentially life-threatening thing, and the Holy Spirit is just touching you right now. You know that's you. You're just something. You're not burning on the inside, but you just have suddenly an intensity of stuff going on inside your body right now. And the Holy Spirit is just touching you. And first of all, there's a peace coming upon you that you will not die. Okay, you will not die because God's spoken things over your life yet that are way beyond a diagnosis of something, and he's going to bring to fulfillment everything that he's spoken over your life. So you will not die. And so we bind whatever growth, whatever situation that is right now in Jesus' name. And I command that thing to do with the brain right now to go in Jesus' name. And I release healing right now into your brain, that your brain would function properly. Any growth would go down right now and disappear in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your healing grace. And I speak long life over you right now in Jesus' name, wherever you are. Long life in Jesus' name. And whoever that is, God's anointing you afresh right now to lay hands on the sick so they recover. It's something you've seen before, you haven't seen so much recently, but God's been stirring something in your heart to see things happen in your workplace and people around you, and some difficult situations that you're aware of in different people's lives. And God is saying, I've anointed you. The anointing's been there, but it's like I'm just reminding you, the anointing's there to lay hands on the sick. People who struggle mentally, people who struggle with behavior disorders, things like that. God is just releasing a fresh anointing for you to see people's lives touched and changed. Father, I thank you for miracles happening around that person's life. Miracles happening around their life this year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had a bowel condition and you've had a lot of pain, a lot of issues going on there. God's healing you. You're burning down in your bowels at this moment. But God is healing you and sorting out that issue. We just bind that thing right now. We command that sickness to go in Jesus' name. We release health and life and wholeness. Just be relieved of that sickness right now in Jesus' name. Somebody else, you've had an eye condition in both eyes. You have pain behind the eyes in the sockets there, and God's just healing you right now. There's a heat and a burning there. And your eyesight's being healed. Headaches, you're not going to have those any longer. Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now in that person's body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's some muscle conditions being healed right now. Father, I thank you for muscle disorders. Somebody who's had a blood disorder, God is healing you right now. There's a right sugar balance coming into your blood right now where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had, you find it difficult to stand for long periods of time for whatever reason, and God's healing whatever issue there is there. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in the bloodstream and in muscles right now. Somebody else, you've had a bone condition and God's healing you right now. You've been told you've had some sort of disease that is incurable. Although you're going to live, it gradually has greater effect on you the longer you live. Well, we bind that right now in Jesus' name, and we just command that bone disease to go in Jesus' name, and we release healing and life into your bones. You're not going to have to suffer with that any longer. We just command that to end now, today, this morning, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. This is a year of miracles. This is a year of life. You are a life giver. You're a life giver. every person in the place. You're a life giver. You have life and life to the full. Your words can be full of life. When you touch people to pray for them, it's full of life. You're a life giver. You're a life giver. You're a life releaser. Doesn't matter how old you are, when you've got the life of Christ in you, you are a life giver. Father, I thank you. This is a year of life giving, or giving life to others, no matter where they are, whatever situation. Jesus, you're big enough, great enough, and powerful enough to sort things out. And I thank you that you're going to do it through all of us.
Amen.
Every person's going to have stories of how God has worked through your life, because you take a step of faith, because you believe who He is in you, because you're a life giver. Thank you, Jesus. Souls, miracles, and disciples this year. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.